lost my job and I bought myself some time. I went to see my baby cause she's always on my mind. I put my heart in a package and I let her in, asked the car. Well, but she sold it back to me for a $5 calling card. No, no, life sure has a funny way of saying.
Well, it's time to get into our first guest, and I'd like to introduce to you, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Alabama, Mr. Mike Celia. Mike Celia is in the house, ladies and gentlemen. How do you feel about being here, man?
Well, it was a long trip in from Alabama, so I'm a little tired.
Listen to that voice you have. What a boomer. You've got great resonance. Folks, Mike Celia was here a little while ago with A440, EH440, and that was my most favorite musical segment all year.
That was a good. That was a fun day.
That was a fantastic day. It was a little hot.
It was.
It's going to get hot in here again.
It is.
But it's just us with our voices. Yeah, awesome. Mike Celia is a singer-songwriter who reminds us of the impotence of the song. Melodic and groovy, that's Mike Celia. Mike, instead of me reading the bio,
sure.
Just tell us about your recent CD launch. Did you not have a CD launch or a party or a gig? I know it was at Hughes Room. What went down that night?
I did a show to release my CD, so over the past 2 years, maybe plus, I've been making a record, so finally got done, and we had a show or a celebration and a performance to cap that off, and it was great. It was fantastic. Hughes Room, unbelievable venue, great people, just a good time altogether. A lot of moments. Everything was sort of in the moment. Lots of people, probably every seat in the house taken.
No way.
Yeah. It was great.
What a great listening venue that is.
Oh, one of the best.
It is one of the best. I think I know you from somewhere.
Where do you know me from? You've got a grin on your face.
It's really it's really embarrassing that you don't remember me.
Oh, no. This is... Okay.
Yeah.
Where are we going with this?
Okay. Let's just talk about Second City.
Second City?
Let's talk about improv level A.
No. Hold on a second.
Maybe level B even. No, it was just level A.
No, it was level A.
With Lisa?
Come on, man.
Lisa Merchant?
I don't remember Lisa.
You don't remember instructor?
No.
Who was your instructor in level A?
I don't remember his name.
That's where I've seen you.
That yeah. I did.
But we weren't in the same class.
You're kidding me.
I know. Yeah, seen you around there. What level did you go to?
What? Tell me, how did you even connect that? Like, where did that...
I know stuff.
So you were doing it as well?
It's my... Yeah. Yeah.
You were doing level A. How far did you get?
C.
C? No, I never... I
mean, you never passed?
I finished. Could you fail?
No. Although, we had one guy in our class who I think had Tourette's, like literally. Oh. Which you think would be fantastic for improv.
Right.
But it wasn't.
No. Didn't go over so well, did it? No, we had it. Damn, that was so much fun, man. Yeah. Second City. I had a friend. I did it with a buddy. And, man, he was just, you know, he was coming out of his shell. And we had some pretty wild and crazy. One day I told everyone that he shaved his body. He shaved his legs.
Yeah.
And, well, needless to say, we had a competition. It was one of these things where one guy sat in the middle and two guys sat on either side of him, and we basically were fighting for his attention based on what we were saying. And I went right for gold. I took him out, eh? He didn't talk to me the whole ride home.
No?
Nope.
Good for him.
And
good for
I
you.
Laughed the whole ride home. Oh, yeah.
That's what it's all about. Well, then I did stand-up 101 there with Ted Basilian, and that's a trip, eh, when you're doing a five-minute bit in front of a packed room.
Oh, man, I don't even know what that's like. Comedy is a whole other world. I wish.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it myself.
No, I didn't know.
Listen, I want to play a little track, and then we'll come back and get you to show off a little bit.
Sure.
You're here for the hour.
I'm here.
Folks, this is track 3 off of a little CD in my hand called Falling Backwards. This song is called Climbing a Hill. You want to set this up?
Sure. It's a song I wrote right after I got dumped. And yeah, exactly. Just one of those situations where everything seemed to collapse, right? You know, it was like a domino effect. And so it just always felt like I was on an uphill climb.
Nice. A hill. Mike Celia on the Drew Marshall Show.
Myself some time. I went to see my baby cause she's always on my mind. I put my heart in a package and I let her in, asked the car. Well, but she
She's holding back to me for a $5 calling card. No, no, life sure has a funny way of saying, and I'm climbing a hill. Every time I'm running on the treadmill. And what can I say? Talking is cheap and the words never seem to make the grade. Well, my money's all gone and I'm starting to feel the weight. Trying to stay afloat is all I can do these days. Everybody's happy when I'm singing my songs on the stage. But it's hard to make a living when you're working for no pay. Oh no, life sure has a funny way of saying, oh, you gotta make it on your own. I'm climbing the hill. Every time I'm running on a treadmill. And what can I say? Talking is cheap and the words never seem to make the grade. Nobody in the world that could take it from me. I got my shoes strapped on and my hair pulled back. One track notes like get that ball back. I've been hanging around for way too long. Finally found out where I went wrong. I spent too much time inside the wine. Look back, fall back, miss what's right in front of me. I've been around for way too long and it's plain to see. Live for the moment and set me free. And what can I say? This target is cheap and the worst steps to make the claim.
Mike Celia on the Drew Marshall Show. Dude, are you kidding me? So when we were talking off air, I threw out, you know, the comparison thing. That's what people do. Ooh, that sounds like, and you sound like, and you sound like. And so let's start with that first, get that out of the way. Little Stray Cats going on there, right?
Yeah.
Little
yeah.
Swing, little something-something going on.
Yep.
And you were dropping names.
I was, yeah. Well, we just, it was a treat to make this record. We had, so Kevin Bright, who's, you know, acclaimed guitarist, based out of Toronto, I guess, lives in Elora, Ontario, if I'm not mistaken. Look at this. I know too much about him. I hope he's not listening. He's creeping out. But is it ever a treat to be able to have played with his band? My brother Dave, who produced the record, enlisted the talents of Russ Boswell and Jorn Anderson, who are Kevin's band and focal arm, and one of the heaviest, tightest rhythm sections you'll probably ever hear anywhere. Probably in the world, and I got to have these guys come in, and we did the whole record live off the floor. So what you're hearing is I'd say about 80% in some of these tracks as it was played, right in one shot, straight from top to bottom. We did some stuff later, but it was just such a treat to play with these guys. And
how many releases have you had?
Two.
This is number deux.
Yeah, that's right.
Was the first one an EP or full?
It was an EP.
This is the real McCoy right here.
This is it. This is the first big kind of deal.
You know, when I posted your name on the Facebook page, there were a couple of people that said, ooh, I love him. And I try to get people that people don't know on the show.
Right.
So I would appreciate it if you just lay low a little bit.
Right.
Why
right.
do people know you so much?
I don't know. I like people. I make a lot of friends where I go. It's true. I am. I'm a big geek for people. Ask anyone who knows me, man. I'm walking around. I'm making friends everywhere I go. Like, it's almost annoying to people at times. Like, shut up, man. What, do you know someone over there?
Yeah, I don't get that.
No. I bet you don't.
No. Listen, speaking of shutting up.
Sure.
Can we do a song?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it. What are you going to do? What do you feel like doing?
I'm going to do the first song off the record. It's called Used to Be, and it's written... it's a song I just wrote about... Actually, I'll tell you exactly how I began writing
this
song.
Would you mind telling me exactly how you began writing the song?
Sure. Let me just get into the very specific details.
Yes.
I used to work... When I first got into music, I worked with this promoter. I was putting together concerts, and I started working with this other guy, and we kind of put together our talents and started throwing these shows, and they were acoustic songwriters. Once a month at a place right here in Mississauga, like little hit, not here in Mississauga, this is Oakville, not far from here. And it was a little back room, little dark back room where one songwriter would get up with their guitar and play for 250 people sitting on the floor quiet.
Would they snap at the end?
Sometimes. it was just something that took off, and it was really, really unbelievable, and things started growing and growing and growing anyways. Like many partnerships, turmoil, and as things started to expand, we got into complications, and I felt like he was being a bit of a D, a big D, and so I found my way out, and as I was on my way out, I was writing this song, because he was still getting all this praise, like he'd been doing all this stuff, and he sort of hired me to legitimize him. He wasn't a musician. He put me on the partnership to sort of be like, and he said that to me.
Did he stole your glow?
He did. No, I don't want to knock him. He's not a bad guy. I think he's just working on his own stuff, man.
Sure. Aren't we all?
Yeah. And that's what this song is. This is exactly what this song is about. It's about just doing your thing, and everyone's trying to figure it out, and they're all a bunch of chicken poops, man.
Yeah.
That's what we are.
Folks, Mike Cilia with a little song called Chicken Poop.
It used to be about the music. Used to be about the change. It used to be about the difference we all wanted to make. Well, nowadays it seems we're faking. We seem to give when we're taking. Oh, and everybody's buying into all. We all want to make a difference. We all want to be the change. It's so hard when we're strangers. We're so scared of the touch. All your sisters and your brothers, all your mothers and your fathers, oh, they're all around you, but you can't see. That we're all the same, and we're all to blame, oh, for feeling alone in this old place we all call. We all want to make the difference. We all want to be the change. We all want to kill the poison, but it's out of our range. And we all want to be good souls. We all want to be. So hard when we're strangers, we're so scared of the touch. Oh Lord, have we broken? Have we lost our sense of touch? We hide inside these walls till the loneliness. The illusion becomes too real. We forget how to feel love. I feel love. I feel love. And this love inside of me. I feel love. I feel love. Oh, yes, I do. And this love inside of me ain't mine. No, this love inside of me ain't mine. No, this love inside of me.
Beautiful stuff, man. Mike Cilia on the Drew Marshall Show. That's the top track off his CD called Used to Be. And, buddy, I got to talk about those lyrics because I'm a lyric junkie.
Okay.
And that's kind of kumbaya-ish, man.
It is pretty kumbaya-ish. I'm a kumbaya-esque guy.
Are you now?
I am. I you know, I'm a bit of an idealist.
Do you are you a conflict avoider? So that's turned you into a peacemaker?
No, I'm actually, I think I spent most of my life going head first into conflict.
Really?
Yeah. I think most people who know me would probably agree with that. I not nearly as much as I used to. I just got tired. I got tired of arguing, man. It's all just philosophy.
Yeah.
It's all just me versus you, ego, crap. And then eventually that doesn't even become about the point anymore. It's just about, what about, you know, hear me.
Yeah,
this is what I have to say, and sort of give into it. It just drove me nuts.
But that's the industry that you're in, man. Your crowd stinks of all that.
Yeah,
I mean it's not a huge difference to the corporate scene. You know, let's talk about suits. It's the same. You know, we're all narcissists. You know, North Americans are the ground zero for narcissism.
I think the modern world is ground zero for narcissism. I think
okay, fine.
That's how we've built it that way now. It's all about how do I feel? What is my input? What do I have to offer instead of sort of the conglomerate, all of us kind of together? It sounds cheesy, but we're all in it together. And the smaller the world gets, the smaller the community becomes. It's all this. I'm not a nationalist. You know, I love my country. I love my borders, in terms of the culture that they hold in. But other than that, this whole patriotism, you know, the World Cup and all this stuff. I live right in the middle of Little Italy in downtown Toronto. I get to see culture explode in the best and worst ways. And I love the parts that are the best are the ones where there's culture and food and music. The ones that seem to kind of destroy or kind of butt heads are always the nationalist ones, you know. It's like, come on, man, really? It's like that soccer team represents your country and you somehow. Oh, I don't know. Sorry, I'm going to get too heavy into this.
So the guy that played for the team, the guy that bit the other guy, what team was that he played for?
Chile?
Is it fair to say that at that moment, Chile bites?
It wasn't. Yeah, maybe it wasn't. Don't quote me on that. I can't remember.
You know, normally I've been told that you're good for any kind of chitter chatter. You're a chatty cat.
No, hit me up.
So normally I don't get into this stuff with the musos because the music is the music, and as I've said many, many times in the show, over the years, music has penetrated my soul a heck of a lot more than preachers have.
Right.
Oh, Lord, have we broken.
Yeah.
Now, is that a figurative thing? I mean, you know, or
I knew you'd go there.
Is that all, you know, I mean, are you Cat Stevens? Explain that.
Well, I grew up in a Roman Catholic home. I was baptized as a child, and I went to church every Sunday with my mom, and I watched everything happen. I remember the day that I started. The truth is that I'm not a practicing Catholic at all. I have a lot of philosophies and I have a lot of sort of spiritual ways.
Mrs. Strombolopoulos is listening right now.
Yeah, right,
and
right.
She is very disappointed in you, young man.
That's okay.
No, she's not. She stinks of grace. She's an amazing woman.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yes. Finish your thought before I get all ADD on you again.
It's more of a reference. It's just a reference to how I used to and how many people identify with something that we're all connected by. Hmm. That's all. And it's just a word. You know, I always appreciated the way a guy like Tom Waits would use gospel-style music to describe something the opposite of it, or even church music to, you know, Chocolate Jesus sounded like a church song.
Yeah.
You know, and yet he was saying something that could almost be, basically, technically be blasphemous.
Sure.
And I always found that an interesting contrast in music. And
listen, this is blasphemous. Don't give me this Tom Waits thing. This is, somebody told me this the other day. I might have closed our show when you were here with A440 with this.
What's that?
Don't forget, if you don't sin, Jesus died for nothing.
Oh, that's great. I love it.
Send your hate mail to drewmarshall.ca. Can you make a living out of this, man?
I think you can.
Heard about it.
I'll let you know.
There was this guy I heard one time. I had to Snopes to see if it was true or not. This Canadian musician made money.
Snopes didn't even know. No. They weren't even sure. They don't. It was like a true / false.
What was the? I often reference this. You know, Mumford and Son. They have that one clip where I think the title on YouTube is, you know, when the band knew they'd hit it big, and it was a shot when the guys started singing their song, and the crowd started singing it louder than they were singing it, and they just kind of went, "Wow, this is nuts!" You know, one year they were at Glastonbury and they were playing in a side tent, and the next year they were main stage. Have you had, like, what's your best on stage feeling that you've ever had?
Oh, man. There have been a few. I can't even think of one. I don't know if I spend a lot of time reminiscing on things past. I'm always kind of looking forward or just being kind of where I am. Singing O Canada for the Raptors was amazing. Probably, actually, not directly related to anything I was doing personally musically, but when we sang with A440, when we sang O Canada and the Star Spangled Banner, the very first time, we've done it twice now, there was a gentleman, and I wish I could remember his name, but he was a sportscaster for the New York Knicks, been doing it for 20 years, and he walked up to us and he said, you know, and we just finished performing in front of 20 some odd thousand people.
Yeah.
And he came up to us, we couldn't get off stage fast enough, and he stopped us in our tracks, and he said, you know, I've heard the national anthem for the past, since I was born. He was about, you know, probably about 50 some odd years old. He goes, I've been hearing it every day for 50 years, and I got to tell you, after the first 20 years, it just goes right over my head. I don't even hear it, and it's not because I'm not proud to be American. It's not because I don't love the song. It's just because...
That's the law of diminishing returns.
Yeah, exactly. So he says, I haven't heard that song in 18, 20 years, maybe even more, 25, 30 years. He goes, tonight I heard goosebumps.
It. Nice.
And I think that was something really, and it's funny, you know, here we just performed for 25,000 people. That's what hit me the most.
Interesting.
I think every experience is different. Sometimes, you know, maybe 20,000 people singing your lyrics would be amazing. I don't know what that feels like yet. Maybe we'll get there.
How old are you?
34.
Better hurry up.
I'm working on it.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. What an idiot. Who says that?
No.
Did you meet Herbie Kuhn, the announcer for the Raptors?
No.
Yeah,
of course I did.
Little short bald guy?
Yeah, totally.
He used to do a show here before I came in and did mine.
Okay.
It was called Voices for Life Cafe. And he'd always say, sit back, grab a cup of your favorite beverage, which in his case was coffee, I'm sure, because he is wound.
I bet.
Anyway, he's a neat guy. He's a good guy. Can you do another song?
Yeah.
What are you going to do now, man?
I'll do a song called Talk, since we're talking about talking. This is a song basically about how I talk too much sometimes.
I've heard that.
Yeah. This is about me getting caught.
I don't think so. I think you should co-host with me sometime.
Sure. I'd love to. Anytime.
All right, folks. Mike Cilia on the Drew Marshall Show with track number 2 off his latest CD. It's my, I don't know, radio guy thing.
Just no way to say about the way the words failed to come my way. There's something that I had to say, but it just didn't seem to come out that way. Now I'm chewing on my words like an old dog bone. It's hard to be understood when you're talking in a language they don't talk so good. It's hard to deny I could. I just need a little practice and I know I should. But I keep on talking trash till I'm on my ass. So let's talk. Let's rock. Let's go down this old road again. Let's talk. Let's rock. Let's twist intentions with words unmentioned. Let's talk. right when you're talking wrong, and all the words are coming out just like a song. Nobody knows the page I'm on, and I'm looking for the words till the thought is gone. Now I'm getting funny looks like a drunken clown. There's so many ways to communicate, so many ways that I can't translate. Got more than I care to say, but if you listen with your heart, you just might relate, and you'll know me more than words could ever say. So let's talk, let's rock, let's go down this old road again. Let's talk, let's rock, as if nothing else could ever say. If we give, if we loved, if you get to know me, you will see just what I'm trying to say. Let's talk. Let's talk.
Mike Cilia on the Drew Marshall Show. I feel like there should be a round of applause. We should probably have like a cart for that. Now putting in the 18th green. You're fun.
Thanks, man.
Do you get into a funk? Are you bipolar?
I don't know if I'm bipolar, but yeah, I definitely get into funks. I think I live in a funk a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, I think.
Do you have a performance switch?
I think so.
I think every performer does. Yeah. That's what makes a performer. You're able to put the switch on whether you're in the funk or not.
Have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't really have it. I mean, and one of the things that I hold on to is the fact that if all else fails, I still have this. But if I screw this up, especially over all else, what a tragedy that would be. Mm. So I often look at it as, well, maybe I'm feeling like crap right now, but I got to get out there and do this because this is the one thing that consistently keeps me happy. So I've got to have it.
They say when you get into a funk, I don't know who they is, but they say that when you get into a funk, take your eyes off yourself and do something for someone else. It's maybe the first remedy. And I think what you do for people is defunctify them. Now I just thought of a song by you know, defunctify.
You making this up?
No, it's a real song. I can't remember the name of the band. They also, no, it's not them. This is a good, I'm having a little conversation in my own head.
So just let us know when you're ready to continue with the show, Drew.
You know what? After 45, man, pronouns, they're gone.
That's
people's
it.
People's names, towns, place, like, what? Yeah, I was over there, there with Buddy. That's how I talk now.
Yeah, I say Buddy all the time.
I was there with Buddy.
It's so condescending. Hey, Buddy, come on down here.
I was emceeing a March of Dimes gala at the Royal York a couple weeks ago. It was a lovely event, very stiff and formal, and people were reading scripts and stuff. And
you started that by saying it was lovely.
No, it was. I mean, look, it was a lovely event,
you.
And they were raising money. Yeah.
No, I'm giving you a hard
no,
time.
But no, but it was a bit stiff, right? And I guess it's people think that these things need to be.
Yep.
So it was easy when I got up there. It was easy to take the house and just rip it apart because they were just waiting. They needed something, right?
Yep.
Anyway. Why was I saying this? Oh, because there was a doctor that got up there and he won some award. And this guy pontificated tremendously. And he went on. He chased about 37 rabbits in his acceptance speech. He went on and he was explaining how this, the Hutterite community or the Hittite community or the I don't know, whatever. So my first thing when I got up there was, man, what an evening, eh? I mean, especially Buddy's speech there about the Hittites, Hutterites, or whatever, you know. But I just, like, this guy's a major player in the Canadian doctor scene. I call him Buddy? Who does that?
Take a piece out of him.
Jeez. The resonance in your voice is beautiful.
Thanks.
I think you said before we started you felt your voice was croaky, but it's a lovely croaky.
Yeah, I get that.
Do you always have, like, gravel?
Yeah. I think I always did. I think
who has
I used
more
to...
gravel, you or Stacy?
Oh, I don't know. That's a whole different ball game.
She is a whole different ball game.
That's it, man. It's a different sport. You know, we're talking baseball and hockey here, man.
Coming up next week on the Drew Marshall Show, Ash and Bloom. You heard those guys?
I have. They're fantastic.
Holy Simon and Garfunkel-ish.
Yeah.
Again, with the comparison stuff.
Yeah, okay.
July 19th, some chick named Stacey Kay.
Never heard of her.
And then July 26th, Dwayne Forrest. So we got a great lineup for the month of July. Mike, the resonance in your voice. Is that just what it is, or did you intentionally bring a little Joe Cocker into you?
No, that's 100% what it is. Actually, I used to sing with a lot more. I used to put it really on, you know.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good for one song, but...
No. You'll hear it on my EP, you know. That's one of the beautiful things about recording something is you get to watch this evolution. It's like creating a timeline.
Nice.
And you'll probably hear that all over my EP. And then I worked with this really, really great vocal coach, maybe twice. This is how exponential her potency is.
What's her name?
Her name is Panthea. She goes by the name Panthea. That's the coolest name
she's
I've ever heard.
One name? Like Seinfeld?
As I know it, yes.
Like Kramer, I mean?
Like Panther, but Panthea. She's like a character from what was that? A superhero.
Where's she from?
A superhero. She's from Montreal.
Okay.
Well, I know that she's based out of Montreal. And, you know, you would just sit in front of her and sing your tunes. And then she would just sort of start giving you little things here and there. And I think it was the second time I went to see her. She said, I got good news and I got bad news. And I said, well, what's the bad news? And she said, you can't keep singing like that.
Because you'll adenoid yourself out?
Yeah, pretty much. She's like, you're putting tension on your vocal cords, and it's not supposed to happen. This is a freedom thing, not a work
thing. That's great advice.
It was the best advice I ever got. Just, you know, and she said, you know, start looking for... She goes, actually, her exact words were, I bet you a lot of people love your voice, that raspiness.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I get a lot of comments on it. She's like, well, you're going to have to lose it a little bit. So what I did was I started training on singing with my speaking voice. And this was something that my brother had told me to do because he was doing a similar thing.
Brother already told you to do this, but he was your brother, so you're like, screw you. And then you had to wait for a vocal... You had to pay a vocal coach to say the same thing your brother said.
It didn't work in that order, but it certainly would have. I can guarantee it. Yeah, but, you know, so you should just start singing in your... You know, you just sort of take the songs like... You know, like talk and just instead of going like, it's hard to be right when you're talking wrong and putting all this singing on it, you just kind of go, it's hard to be right when you're talking wrong and all.
Okay, now you sound like Kermit.
I know, I put a little too much on there. It's hard to be right when you're talking wrong and all the words are coming out just like a song. Nobody knows the page I'm on. And the reason why it works so well, and I think the reason why the lyrics, you can even hear the lyrics and connect to them in any way if you can, is because you're hearing it come from me now, not some guy I think I'm supposed to morph into when I sing.
I wish Randy Jackson could have said something useful like that.
I wish more people, you know, more vocal coaches were telling people to do that.
You actually, there's a bit of, when you enunciate, and even just the way you look a little bit, well, maybe I'll take that back because you're a good-looking guy, and I'm not sure the guy I'm comparing you to is all that good-looking. Anyway, I see it a little Dan Hill-ish.
Dan Hill?
Yeah.
What do I know about Dan Hill?
Yeah.
I don't know if I remember. And
sometimes when we touch,
oh my God,
the honesty's
true. Oh God.
No, but he is. When I talked to him on the show, I was talking about Canadians, especially Canadian singer songwriters. Is you know the acoustic thing. We over enunciate, especially our R's.
Yeah. R.
And I think it's that talk singing. It's the natural talk singing. And I think it's a Canadiana thing.
Could be.
It's this is me.
Yeah,
this is me. I'm not trying to be X like your vocal coach told you. Told you.
Well, think about all the great voices. You know, they're all. I mean, especially the ones that actually inspired people with the lyrics that they're like. Look at Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that guy doesn't have a beautiful singing voice, not by any you know typical standards.
No, but what he did? Oh, I can't remember this song. I just heard it the other day when he was genuinely singing. And I thought it was crap.
Yeah.
And then when he went all. You got to serve somebody. I thought it was weird, but that was sustainable. His singing thing that he tried to do was not him.
No.
And I think he talked to, what was her name again? Shaniqua?
Yeah.
No, your singer, singer coach. What was her name?
Shaquanda? Yeah, I like Shaniqua way better, so I just went with it.
What was it again?
It's Panthea.
Okay.
Yeah.
He must have talked to her.
He might have. Yeah, I mean, even look at Neil Young. Perfect example of another voice that doesn't instantly, you know, their first thought is, it's a bit nasally, it's a bit this, but suddenly you're like, man, listen to what he's saying, listen to these melodies, these lines, these guitar lines.
We innately, I think, pick up whether someone's, I think Canadians have a gift for this too, pick up whether someone's being themselves or not.
Right.
And when they're being themselves, we can get past the uniqueness of their voice and into the soul of the song.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's, I don't know if that's, maybe that is something Canadian because of the way we are, but I think that all people are looking for that in one way or another. I think they've, once they convince them, I don't know, I guess it depends, all right?
Are we pontificating?
We are.
Can you do another song for us?
Sure. Yeah, you bet.
What are you going to do, buddy?
I'm going to do a song called Come Pat. Home.
Come Home. Why?
It was a song I wrote at the time. I had this beautiful partner, girlfriend, and she...
She left you and you wanted her back?
She was not. Well, yeah, sort of.
Sorry.
She was actually on a TV show. She was on So You Think You Can Dance.
Was she?
She was. She was on the first season. And
could she?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. In all respects. She's one of the best dancers I've ever met. Anyhow, and I'm talking about her. So I wrote this song while she was away doing that show, which is interesting because it was filmed in Toronto, and I live in Toronto, but I never got to see very much of her. And then it was just sort of one of those things where, you know, maybe I'll be exposing a bit of reality TV here, but, you know, there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and it's very stressful for these contestants. You know, she's used to just dancing, and now it's a TV show. It's a production. So she was really stressed, putting up with a lot. I couldn't be there for her. This was a song I wrote while I was just sitting and missing her. It's called Come Home.
Nice. Love it. Off his new CD, folks, called Falling Backwards, and the man is Mike Cilia.
This is the house that love built, where we weather the storm together. And now that you have gone, you take with you my song. So I wait for you to come home. So come home, pretty girl, come home. There's a hole in the bed where you used to lie, and now it's messing with my head. This is love that time built. Our patient hearts have been fulfilled. And though it's been so long, the years have made love strong. That's why I wait for you to come back home to me now. Baby, come home. Pretty girl, come home. Cause there's a hole in the bed where you used to lie, and now it's messing with my head. Come home. Sing the love in your hands when I'm lying in our bed. I just sit here every day thinking about the things I'll say when you call me. But these words get in the way of everything I try to say when you call me. Oh, and I've said it all before, and I want to give you more than I love you. Cause you're everything and more, and the only way to say it is to hold you in my arms. So come home. Girl, come home. Cause There's a hole in the bed where you used to lie, and now it's messing with my head. So come home, pretty girl, come home. There's a hole in my heart where you used to lie. There's a hole in my heart, I can feel it. There's a hole in my heart, I can feel it every time, every time, every time we're apart.
Beautiful stuff, man. Beautiful. Thanks. Mike Cilia on the Drew Marshall Show. Website you may want to check out. Let's see. MikeCilia.com. It's a tough life for this guy. He was able to get his own domain. So you're versatile. My iPhone button is broken.
Uh-oh. Is it jammed?
Yeah, I can't get it to...
I'm sure smack it against the table.
What? Fonzie did it.
Help it.
All it did was loosen the headphone.
That's how my father fixes things.
Yes.
What? You got to whack it.
Does your father have an accent?
Yeah, a little bit.
What is he?
Croatian.
Is he?
Yeah. Good old Croat.
I flew home from France beside a guy who was in, with the Croatian, I have a story about everything. He was with the Croatian Secret Service. You didn't even know there was such a thing, did you? That's how secret they are.
That means they're doing a good job.
United States Secret Service? Come on. These guys aren't. Everybody knows them.
Busted.
No, I'm quite impressed with the versatility. I always think, ooh, you know, when someone's doing a solo thing on an axe, speaking of axes, that tailor is just sick nice. I thought, I could use a little shuka shuka, you know?
Yeah.
I thought, ooh, maybe you could, because, you know, you still want to be a Dick Van Dyke of, you know, just one-man band thing, right?
Yeah.
You could tape an egg to your strumming arm.
Ah, you know what? There are actually percussion instruments. I have goat nails, if you can imagine. Literally, they're goat nails. You can see it. They look like little claws. And they all sit on an armband, and as you're dancing around.
So somebody's like already thought of this.
Some kind of hippie guy who likes to go to drum circles. What if I wrap that? I like drum circles. This is not a comment on hippies or drum circles.
No, no.
But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And some guy, I guess, decided, well, what if I just tied these things to my arm? Then they could just keep going while I'm whacking the skins. You know,
you're weird.
I keep hearing that, man. I wonder why.
No, stop. Stop it. How did you? What was the start? I want to go into the whole Tiny Talentine thing here, but
sure.
What was the start? Did you grow up in a musical family?
My brother was a musician. Actually, I wouldn't call our family musical up until maybe our generation. Like, we have four kids in my family. My oldest brother had a guitar. He's 10 years my senior. Seven years, or 3 years after him came another brother, then a sister, and then myself. My sister was more into poetry when she was younger. She was into the arts, but our oldest brother was an athlete who wanted to learn how to play guitar. He got the first guitar. Then Dave, who's the next brother in line, picked up that guitar, and that was pretty much the end of it. Dave just took off with it. He's been doing it ever since, and he's unbelievable.
Is he better than you?
He produced the record.
Is he better?
As a guitar player, as a musician, he's had loads of experience, his musicality.
But is he better than you?
Yeah, I would say so. Not even you're talking about guitar or just in general.
Just in, like, is he a better human being than you?
No. He's a piece of garbage. To hell with him. I hope he's listening. No, he's my brother. I mean, I have every love and hate in the book for him because it's just...
And he's your brother from the same mother?
Same mother, yeah.
Okay. Just want to clear that up.
Yeah, he's the one who actually got... So basically, he's the one who got me in. He's the first guy to get me up on stage. He heard a couple songs I was writing. I bought a computer. I was recording songs, and I was writing tunes and singing. And
what was the first software you used?
Cubase.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I bought Cubase and a computer, and I was recording these tunes that I had just written just because I could and I wanted to. And I showed him a couple, and he was like, "Who the hell's that singing?" And I was like, "That's me, dude.
That's me."
He was like, "Get the out of here." So... that summer I went to Europe. I was backpacking through Europe. I got an email from him saying, "Why don't you come open for me at Hughes Room?"
Come on.
Which I had no idea. I was like, sure, Hughes Room. That sounds like some junk hole. I don't even know. Right? What did I know, right? And meanwhile, I get up on stage and played about five songs. And
wow.
that was it. That was for me. That was the eye-opening experience. I walked off stage and I was just high as a kite, you know, and you know, high on life.
Yeah.
I just felt great. Yeah. So I knew from that moment. I knew I wanted to keep doing this.
That last song. Sorry, I'm all over the place. I was listening, but I was thinking about something else.
Sure.
No, I wasn't listening at all. I don't care about you.
That's technically not listening.
True story.
By definition.
It is. That last song, I would love to see you do a duet with Alicia Brillinger.
Oh, I do know Alicia Brillinger.
She is ugly.
You've got the opposite of what you mean to say disease.
That girl is so talented. Her vocals, stage pres. I mean, the whole, she just got everything. She really does.
I met her a long time ago at that. Remember I told you about earlier, I was talking about that bar we used to go to and we'd sit around and 200 people.
Oh, yeah.
Alicia, that's where I met her. I think.
Really?
Yeah, she was playing there. She's just started getting her start.
She does a regular stint at the Reservoir Lounge, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I've heard. I've seen some. We're Facebook friends, so I from time to time things run in, and we have this. Her publicist is a good friend of mine.
I don't want to talk about her anymore.
Fine.
Okay. let me just read this suck up blurb here, and we'll get you to do one more song.
Sure.
If you don't mind. Okay.
I'd love to.
Mike Cilley is a singer. Oh, I read all that. Blah blah blah. It's a refreshing take on an blah 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 blah. Further to his musical endeavors in 2012, Mike began an entirely new project with four strangers who would quickly become a big part of his musical family today. He joined forces with a beatboxer, a vocal bassist, and two lead vocalists to form A440. I always want to say EH, but it's A440, an a cappella band with a twist. The band has already traveled. What's the twist, by the way?
Oh, just, you know, that we're bringing in a little more of electronics. We're using pedals. We're using effects, post-production effects.
Okay, all right. Yeah. The band has already traveled throughout both the U.S. and Canada performing festivals and venues like the Air Canada Centre, North Carolina State University, singing festivals, So Jam a cappella festival, Sudbury Summerfest, opening main acts like Monster Truck, Sheepdogs, Great Big Sea, Alienate Arts Festival in Nunavut?
Yeah.
Dude!
Where's in the Arctic?
Did you eat fat?
Yeah. Seal
did
fat.
Not.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney's wife would not appreciate that at all.
Is that right?
Yeah, she hates.
Does she eat any meat at all?
She hates seal eaters.
Seal eaters? Is that right? Like, so what? It's okay to eat those?
I don't know.
Those pesky, ugly cows that we stock up in stockyards?
Yes. They were also seen getting a deal on CBC's Dragon Den, and Mike, of course, was in here just a couple of weeks ago with A440. Over the years, Mike has continued to write and perform original music across the Canadian landscape, from venues as quaint as a basement bar to the Air Canada Centre. Mike has seen his fair share of audiences. Currently plays lead guitar for Tanika Charles and the Wonderfuls.
Tanika.
I can never get
Tanika.
These.
Tanika. Where'd you get that from?
I put the wrong emphasis on the right syllable. rhythm guitar for Shafi?
Shafi.
Dang.
Shafi. I just had a rehearsal with them last night.
A project by Prince's guitarist Donna Grantis.
Yeah.
And Sarah Shafi.
Yeah, that's where the name comes from.
And has done the honor of playing lead guitar for the Grammy Award-winning band Digable Planets during their 2001 NXNE performance at Toronto's Dundas Square. Buddy, you've done a lot of great stuff, man.
Thanks. It's been a good ride.
It has been, honestly, and a pleasure to have you come back, and it was great to meet you the first time. Open door policy for you. Anytime we can help get a little exposure for you, and I mean little. Then you're more than welcome. What are you going out with, man?
I'm
going
to do something that isn't on the record. It's a new tune I wrote. Actually, while I was up in Sudbury Summerfest, I met a guy who told me that my pants were too tight. So this song's dedicated to him and everyone else who thinks there's something
to got my tight pants on.
That's right. Ah, you saw that. Someone sent that to me, and they were like, somebody's going to win on this joke because they're more famous than I am. But
man.
True story. This guy couldn't get over how tight my pants were, and I was just like, "No, dude, they're really stretchy and comfortable." And he's like, "No, no, not for me, bud. Not for me."
He'd rather have his pants on the ground.
That's right. Something like that. Yeah. Right.
Mike Cilley going out on the Drew Marshall Show.
Keep telling me my pants are too tight, that my hair's too long and my color's too bright. I've got too much to say and I'm always on a different page. Everywhere I go, people always have to know, poking noses in holes that don't fit the status quo. I pay them no attention, no I don't, but they just keep digging deeper, cause I won't, until I can't hide behind this smile any longer. Oh no, guess I'll have to take it down low, low. So if you don't care for the way I do my hair or this thin line figure neath the clothes that I wear, well, you don't have to worry, cause it ain't your hoop to bear. You say I'm a hipster, I say to you, mister, you can put your lips right here in my keister. Maybe you can kiss my ass, that's for sure. You're the kind always looking to define, putting people in places, trying to keep them in line. Gotta get it all together, gotta make it fit with your design. Maybe you're blinded by your own lifestyle, never worn a man's shoes, never walked that mile. Everybody seems strange and you're never gonna change your mind. Now you're stuck in your ways and it's leaving you far behind. Cause nobody wants a pain always yanking on their chain like you do. Nobody wants to hear your narrow point of view. So if you don't care for the way I do my hair or this thin line figure neath the clothes that I wear, well, you don't have to worry, cause it ain't your poop to bear. Oh, and you say I'm a hipster, I say to you, mister, you can put your lips right here in my keister. Maybe you can kiss my butt, that's for sure. Maybe you can kiss my ass, that's for sure. Maybe you can kiss my ass.
That's my CRTC beep.
That's for sure.
Mike Cilia. Last time on the Drew Marshall Show.
Ever.
That's the last Drew Marshall Show. Ever. Buddy, great to have you. And from my point of view, you know, I don't know. I think you're just a gifted freak.
I think
that's a compliment.
All right.
I once said to a girl, you know, for a fat girl, you don't sweat much.
Oh.
That's a compliment, too.
It's rough around the edges.
A little bit.
Backhanded.
A little bit. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for being in. Folks, short break. When we come back, more of the Drew Marshall Show.
And I'm climbing the hill. Every time I'm running on the treadmill. And what can I say? Never seem to make the grade. Well, my money's all gone and I'm starting to feel the weight. Trying to stay afloat is all I can do these days. Everybody's happy when I'm singing my songs on the stage. But it's hard to make a living when you're working for no pay. Oh no, life sure has a funny way of saying. Let me know.